because so the whole, basically the whole idea of the Haggadah is it comes up in this pasuk. So I put in funny things at the top, that you wouldn't get confused which one it is. Bitatal vilcha b'yom ha'ulecho b'afor zeh asar sheni b'tzeikin l'mitzrayim. The word Mitzrayim is exchanged with three dots, so that it's not a whole pasuk. And that's like about the only word there that I can jump without losing the meaning.
So why do you want to not have a whole pasuk?
Because once you have a whole pasuk, then you mamash chayv. It's not just chayv. It's just a dvar Torah. It doesn't have shem hashem or a pasuk thing. You're just not. You're not allowed to do something with vazeh with it.
Well, this is
once
for sure
pasuk,
Mitzah,
then
this is the poem. We can't throw away the poem, Rabbi.
Right now, the pasuk. I mean, you're right. But the reason you don't want to throw away the poem is because you want to read it. And once you know it, then it's Torah Shabbat, but it's not Torah, so that you have to keep it. Okay, let's get to work. Okay. Now, the thing about this pasuk is that it doesn't seem to make any sense, like lots of pasukim, like until you understand what's going on. It's not clear what it says, and if it was clear what it says, it's not clear what that means. And since this whole idea of the Haggadah is based on this pasuk, it's kind of like what it says. You tell your son on that day, saying, "Bavul zeh asah shem li v'tzeitim v'tzeim." Now, if you just try to translate this, like even if you like you know those Google things where they, you know, you take language you don't, can't read and you just write it up and it tells you what it doesn't say, but each word's right.
Can you do that for Aramaic?
I don't know if you can do it for Aramaic, but if you did it for Hebrew, because this is Hebrew, then
Oh, you're wondering like if that's how Archibald does your stuff then.
I don't know if that's how Archibald really does it. I have no idea. I don't know if Archibald has a word search machine. I don't know if they've gotten that far. But there you can bring a chair and sit on it. So it really is kind of reads like this, because when you translate each word, then all the words make sense, not very hard words. But you can't put them together very well. It doesn't matter, it's fine. You want a piece of paper as well? No, you need to spare for the next guy. Otherwise people won't think that we're inviting. You should always give a Haggadah shiur when the yeshiva is on lockdown. But I just want to remind everybody that we started about 10 minutes ago, just in case anybody forgot, because it was so long ago. So we have started. Anybody makes any more noise, I'm going to turn one of these pieces of paper in front of me into a paper airplane. It'll become a bomber by the end of the end of the year. It's French sorties. Right. The French sorties. In order to keep Sarkozy in government. Look, what's the problem with this puzzle?
It's the woman.
Because of this, Hashem did to me when he took me out of Mitzrayim. Now, there's a problem there. Either because of this, Hashem did something specific to me, or alternatively, this is because what Hashem did when he took me out of Mitzrayim. Now, you could go either direction, but both ways, it's not what it says. Bavul zeh asa Hashem li. In Hebrew, you can't leave that open. You have to say what it is. Because of this, God did to me when he took me out of Mitzrayim. In English, doesn't sound any better. Now, There are two ways to solve this problem, either moving it into the past or into the future.
What about speaking before and after it?
It won't help you.
So what's the alternative?
And if it does, it'll ruin my shit.
What's the alternative?
What?
What's the alternative to what? What's the alternative?
That's just a challenge. Yes?
What's the alternative to the obvious?
Well, what is the obvious? If you tell me the obvious, I'll tell you the
because
obvious.
Because what you translate into, because of this, God did to me when I left Egypt.
Yeah, well, what does that mean?
There's no alternative.
Oh, no, just one second. There's no alternative to something that doesn't make sense. Now, once you try to make sense of something, then you have two options, right? Right? You can try to make sense. Something doesn't make sense, right? So you can translate it as many times as you like into as many languages as you like. Now, once you try to make sense of it, you're going to have different alternatives. Because if there was a simple answer, then there wouldn't be the question. So because of this, God did to me. We're talking about Mitzrayim. So one possibility is fill in the blank. God did to me what you know God did to me, because you know that kind of thing that you know already. You know, you went to kindergarten, right? So just like, right? In which case, what was the kid asking is completely unclear. The whole context is kind of weird, right? Because you're trying to explain to the kid. It doesn't make sense. You're telling him, and the most important thing you left out. The alternative is to read the sentence differently. This is because of what God did to me. In both in English and in Hebrew, you can say that. This is, but then the ba'ul zeh, you have to change. Then the grammatical change has to be in the earlier part of the sentence. But this is because of what God did to me. Right? But not because of this God did to me, right? The whole. Anyway, let's start working through. You have some problems. Let's read it again. I hope I haven't blown anything up. V'gadal b'incha b'yom ha'u lemo. You shall say to your son on that day, saying, "Ba'avul zeh, because of this, God did to me when He took me out of Mitzrayim." So one option is fill in the blank. God did to me what you know He did to me. In which case, kind of most important thing He hasn't said. Alternatively, not because of this God did to me, which anyway is completely unclear. Because what does that mean? Because of this God did to me, like, that doesn't make any sense. Even once you explain the words that are missing, it's not clear what on earth He's trying to say. Alternatively, it means this is because of what did to me. In which case, what you need to do is switch the word zeh with the word ba'avur instead of filling in the blank after word li. Well, there are two basic options: are fill in the word after the word li before the word b'tzeiti, fill something in. Alternatively, change the order of zeh ba'avur and throw in the word ma afterwards, and then it would come to zeh ba'avur ma sha'asa Hashem li b'tzeiti Mitzrayim. Put a shin as a prefix before the asa. Those are basically your two options. Those are the two directions that the mafarshim go in, because those are the two options you got. Right? Now you've got to think about what that means. Okay? Kind of like we finished the hour. Now we're thinking. Yeah. What?
We don't really have any context.
Won't help you. You want the context, say, one of these people into Tanakh, pass over.
Can I pass over?
I actually didn't do that. That was a Freudian slip. The Freudian slip is when you didn't mean it and people claim you did. When you did mean it and people claim you didn't, it's called intelligence. Yud Gimel Chet.
When you say one thing and mean your mother.
It means a Freudian slip is when you say one thing and somebody's paid a lot of money to believe you said something else.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, you listening? If you ever want to fill in these words again, you don't have a chumash on me, just open your tefillin because it's written inside. Okay. They will be in half an hour. Matzati achel leit shivat yamim v'lo yireh lecha chametz v'lo yireh lecha so'o b'chol v'olecha. Okay, that's what you're going to be doing now for next month, cleaning. Okay, I say that again. Matzot yachel et shivat yamim. You eat matzahs for 7 days. And the question is, 7 days, one day, well, 7 days, for sure. V'lo yireh lecha chametz, v'lo yireh lecha so'o b'chol gvulecha. There shouldn't be any chametz or so'o found anywhere in your jurisdiction area, whatever you want to define that as. V'gadat ol v'incha b'yom ha'u le'mol. And you shall tell your son on that day, saying, Ba'avul za'as Hashem yitzitim v'zayim. You try to explain that to me, I can't do it to you. And it shall be as a sign on your hand, that's tefillin shal yad, and as a remembrance between your eyes. Okay, anybody understand that any better?
So the context, what I was thinking, that it might mean is, because of this a thing, Hashem did this
action. For sure, that's the easy read. And what is this?
I thought the easy read was Bavur Zeh Asa Li Hashem, meaning this, that which Hashem did to me. Yeah. I mean, because of that which Hashem did to me. I didn't think that was right.
Hashem did that to me. Is.
I thought that was what you were saying.
Well, easy read depends on it, and that's the second one. It doesn't matter which one's the first and the second. One approach is to fill in. No, it doesn't matter. You've got it right just the other way around. That's the exact same as getting it right. It's not multiple choice questions. Between the word li and bitzeiti, you have to fill in the blank. Alternatively, you have to change the order of the word zeh with the word ba'avur. Okay? Those are your two options. Either instead of this is because of this God took me out, you change it to this is because God took me out. Or because of this, God took me out, God did to me, then you have to say what God did to you, and you also have to explain what it means that God did it because of what you're doing. Okay? Everybody ready? Easy?
No.
Just one second. Is it that it's not clear, because it's not clear to me either, or is it that it's not clear how it's not clear?
Oh, it's clear, but it's not clear.
So yeah, but I'm not sure which
not
one that
clear
is.
To you. Like it's saying it's puzzling to all of us.
Basically, the pasuk's not clear. Okay. The Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael, that's the Medrash from the time of the Tanoim, very old, it's like Mishnah. V'igata l'mincha. Shomei ani merosh chodesh. If you don't remember this, then it's been a long time since last year. There were 13 months this time around. Shomei ani merosh chodesh. Perhaps it's from Rosh Chodesh. Talmud lomar bayomahu. It has to be bayomahu. V'igata l'mincha bayomahu. You might have thought it could be any time in the month. No, it has to be on that day. That's the Seder. I bayomahu yochol mibod yom. So perhaps you can do it before nightfall. Talmud lomar ba'avul zeh, because of this. What is ba'avul zeh? You say this every year in the Haggadah. Just probably you're a bit tired and think about, I don't know what you're talking about. B'sha'a sheyesh matzah umaro munachim lefanecha al shulchancha. Al shulchancha is not in the Haggadah. But the Haggadah took it from here. Right? What's ba'avul zeh? What do you learn from ba'avul zeh? When there's matzah and maror before you. What you can see from this drash is that it took ba'avul zeh most literally. That God took us out of Mitzrayim because of this. And what? Then we've got to try and explain what that means. But you say to your kid, God took me out of Mitzrayim because of this piece of matzah. Now I've got to think what that means.
That's the first one.
Well, yeah, the one I brought first, yeah. Okay? Okay, okay, but avul zeh, you've got to understand what that could mean. And therefore, it has to be at the Seder. Why? Because you have to be able to talk about the thing in front of you. And the whole of the Seder is basically based on this, right? Everybody clear on that one? Avul zeh asa Hashem li lamanemang. Why is it said? Lefishu omer ma'avoda azot lachem. This is the Ben Rasha. Ulefi shotzei et atzmo min haklal afatad mitzia min haklal bavu zeh asa Hashem li v'tzadim sayim li v'lo lecha. Ulefi shotzei et atzmo min haklal lo ayit Hashem lo ayit anigal. Now this very problematic part of the Haggadah, actually, if you read it in the context, it makes much more sense. Because what it's saying is, God took me out of Mitzrayim because of what I'm doing. And therefore, somebody who doesn't willing to do it, God wouldn't have taken him out of Mitzrayim because it was an agreement on the basis of what you're doing. Leave lo lecha is because ba'avul zeh. In other words, if you understand ba'avul zeh most literally without changing the order of the words, it's saying, God took... It might not make sense. You've got to think about that. But first, what's it saying? God took me out of Mitzrayim because of what I'm doing now.
That's why he has to say li, because if you're not doing this, you're
exactly. But was Hashem li? He did it to me because of this, because of what I'm doing. Very nice. Now, notice that this whole medrash is developing their same argument. First, it's keeping the words in the same order, with all the problematic nature of it. One problematic issue is, what are you going to do after the word li? You have to fill in the gap. You can say it's kind of understood. But then you've got to do something with ba'avul zeh. Because of this, God did to me when he took me out of Mitzrayim. What do you mean, because of this? So you have to say, because of what I'm doing now, God did to me. And therefore, somebody who doesn't keep it now, God wouldn't have done it to him. That's really what the whole thing about the Rosh is. It's not like, you're no good, God wouldn't want to save you. The point is, you should understand that the relationship with God is one that you're now doing it because of that. Now, at this point, I want to start opening the question, which is basically the opening question. That was like, when you watch a film, then sometimes, you're sitting and watching it, seems really good, and you were sure, you're getting so engrossed, and it was like 10 minutes, and suddenly you realize this is all the bit before. And then they start showing you the names of all the people who did, and you've really got another 3 hours to sit through, right? So that was just like the introduction. Now we get to business. The question of our share is not how to understand this possible that we do before. Right, the question of this share is, can you read history How do you read history? Are we all the time commemorating the past? Or is the future sometimes more important than the past? Sometimes, and this sounds like a weird idea, but if you start thinking in a more abstract way, it can be helpful. Sometimes the memory of something could be more important than the thing itself.
Don't we say, like the avot, simana?
Yeah, you've got all kinds of ideas up, but let's first work with something straight in the term, right? Can the memory of something before, let me say something historical. Okay, and what I think I'm about to say, I think is in a sense true, even if it's not really true. In a sense, it's like really, really true. In Jewish history, more happened on Leil HaSeder during the last 3,300 years than happened 3,300 years ago. The night of Leil HaSeder when we got on Mitzrayim was a very active night. A lot of things happened then, right? Everybody's agreed. But you know how much happened on that night over history because we were commemorating on it? Just think about the blood libels and everything. You know,
Christianity.
Right? You know how... Christianity as well. Right? You know how much happened, but think how much happened to the Jewish people because of Christianity on that night. Or even not because of Christianity, even in Muslim countries. How much happened on Leil HaSeder during the whole issue of remembering history? Sometimes can be more important than the thing that actually happened. The memory. Well, it was the Leil HaSeder. I mean, even if they weren't in the middle of, you know, skinning us, right? It was Leil HaSeder, right? A lot of things. Think how many family developments happened. You understand what I'm saying? No, and I'm sure there's a lot of historical stuff as well that I'm not aware of. But in the Christian world, we know particular incidents because blood libels usually happen there, right? But even without blood libels, there's a lot of things happened on Leil HaSeder. Think about all the Muranos, right? All the issues of the hidden story. Think about the Holocaust. You know, Leil HaSeder was this incredibly important time. It still is for us all the time. Sometimes maybe more happens in the memory of something than the thing itself. Then you ask, what's the main thing? The thing that happened or the memory of the thing that happened? Sometimes it's like you're reading history backwards. You know, what's more important, the story or the original thing? Are you really commemorating the past? Or you're really developing the future through the development of a common memory. Sometimes groups are made out of a common memory. Yeah?
It's like Tisha B'Av.
What?
It's like Tisha B'Av.
Exactly, Tisha B'Av as well. Right? You know, at the end of the day, a lot of things happen around Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av in itself was the destruction. But, you know, if you would have been Yerushalayim, the day before Tisha B'Av was not a nice day either. Right? But Tisha B'Av has become a whole commemoration, you know, since. So, I mean, this is a big question all the time. You ask me, what is the more important thing? You know, are you developing a group sense of something that happened, a historical moment that is developed in your mind? It's not that what happened is not important, but sometimes remembering that thing can be more important, right? I mean, think about, like, the day a person gets married. It's very important to get married, that's true, right? But, you know, when a person gets married, they're not aware of what's going on. And it's very likely not enjoying themselves at all. So that's why they spend so much money on someone photographing. Because really, they know they're not going to enjoy themselves at all, but they'll enjoy themselves a lot remembering it, pretending that they were enjoying themselves then. Actually, at the time, they weren't involved in it at all. That's why you spend piles of money on this guy taking a picture of it, and you start posing. People during the Tzuba reading are posing for the camera. When they put the ring on the finger, they're posing. What do you mean? This is the thing. You're developing the memory in the action itself. Right? Sometimes the memory can be more meaningful in your life than actually the experience you had. When people go to China or Timbuktu, right? They go around with these gigantic cameras hanging on them, and they can't relax at all because they're just taking pictures, right? They spend a lot of money on this. They better be able to show other people they were there, right? So I'm saying, these things can also happen. I mean, you can make fun of it, obviously, because you have to keep people awake in the evening. But the point is, these are also spiritual questions, right? About what is more important in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is what's more important the fact that you came out of Mitzrayim, or the fact that you can build a relationship on the basis of coming out of Mitzrayim? And then you ask, why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? Bavul zeh, because of what I'm doing now, God took me out.
To build that relationship, if you're saying.
Well, you can say that, or you cannot say that. Because of what I'm doing now, that's the hardcore idea. Because of what I'm doing now, you say to your kid, you don't say to your kid, I'm remembering the past. If you say, kid, I'm remembering your past, you've got basically one more, two more generations until he marries out. Okay? Because when you say to a kid, I'm remembering the past, they understand you're bankrupt. Okay? But if you say to your kid, I'm experiencing a relationship with God, you've got another few thousand years that, you know, you'll be able to carry on until somebody makes that mistake, right? When people start talking about commemoration of Jewish, you know, of Jewish history, you know they've got one foot out the door and they're not going to stay Jewish. Because commemoration's all very nice, but then you can't commit somebody not to marry the person they love because you're commemorating something. Okay? Because he wants to celebrate, not commemorate. Right? So what you're saying is, I have a relationship with God. God took me out of Mitzrayim because of what I'm doing now. He wanted to build something with me. Okay, you've got something to say.
Yeah, so in a way, when we are supposed to, you are sort of, though each and every one of us has come out of Mitzrayim, is that a way of doing so, by saying, because of this Seder, God took me out of Mitzrayim, this is part of the agreement. So in a way, that's still, you see out Mitzrayim because a deal is completed of both people have fulfilled their ends.
Very nice.
Therefore, as I'm still continuing this,
so Adam, you're connecting. So you're connecting it with the idea that you're supposed to say, everybody's supposed to say, as if Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Why do you have to always see it as if Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim? Because in a sense, He did. Because you're the one who has to pay. You have to pay for it. In other words, you're the one who has to continue the relationship. It was on the understanding you're going to continue with that relationship that God took your grandparents out. So now you're giving a new meaning to what it means. So you have to see yourself as if you would have come out of time. And you wouldn't have come out of it. You know, it's like, we would still be stuck there. Why? It's about me. Right? It's about me because Hashem didn't take them out of Mitzrayim just for the fun of it. Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim in order to build this relationship, which you are supporting. You are now continuing your what? So you can look at it as a payment thing, or you can look at it as a relationship thing. And we, you know, when you start thinking about a marriage, it's not a payment anymore, it's a relationship. When you start, you know, but it can be, you know, it can be a, you know, it's like you...
Yeah, but this is a term, it's called a collective memory. When you go to a museum, what they're not trying to create, like, so you learn about the past, it's...
No, that's what I was saying before, the corrective memory. I thought you were saying collecting. Okay, sorry. Collective memory is exactly what I was trying to say before, the development of a memory of a group. That's sometimes more important than the thing that happened. Not that the thing didn't happen, right? If you believe that the thing happens, then in our case, we believe this happened. What does it mean we believe this happens? We don't think we're just, you know, playing games with ourselves. We're thinking we believe this obligates us. But that doesn't mean that the memory of it and developing the relationship on the basis of that is not actually the most important thing. And the thing has no meaning if you don't do that. Kind of like marriage has no meaning if it's just momentary. Marriage only has meaning because you continue a relationship. Learning how to become a doctor has no meaning if you don't become a doctor after, if you don't continue to be a doctor. Right? I mean, unless it's just fun to learn about it. Right? But most people go through all those years of study, not just because it's interesting medical school, but because they want to do something with it. Now, and most people would not go to medical school if they thought they were going to have a heart attack and collapse the day after. Right? Most people wouldn't go to medical school in the first place, whereas people hope would go to yeshiva. Right? Okay. That's what Rashi says, but Avurzeh, take a look at Rashi, and he spells it out actually in a way which is maybe slightly problematic and makes it a bit harder to understand, so the Ibn Ezra takes care of us there. Ba'avurzeh, ba'avur sha'akaye mitzvotav kigon pesach matzah umaror halalu. You're sitting there in front of the Seder plate. In order for me to do what we're doing now, in other words, eating the matzah, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Now the problem with this is, it's kind of hard to imagine that the reason Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim in order for me to eat matzah, however important the matzah could be. There's a lot of other things we do as well, right? Davka the matzah. And this is where the Ibn Ezra comes in. So take a look at the Ibn Ezra. Can you, if you can, if people know how to jump, this involves jumping two sources that come before the Ibn Ezra. Can you do that? This is a figurative jumping. Yes, the Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra Ha'aroch. It's not that he was long, it's simply he wrote two Perushim. He wrote a short commentary and a long commentary. They're both long or short. I mean, I'm not quite sure what the difference is, but I guess in some places one's longer than the other. Ba'avulzeh. Okay, we're going to jump the first two lines. You know what, we're not going to do this. We're going to go in order. Now I see the order I gave it. There's a certain rationale in this. Take a look in Rav Sadia Gaon. Everybody got Rav Sadia Gaon? If you can't find him, his initials are Rasag. Bavur ze asa, ze bavur ma sha'asa Hashem li. How does he explain the pasuk?
He switches it around.
Right.
Happened to.
He changes the words around, adds one prefix and an extra little word, but basically he solves the problem. It's not because of what I'm doing Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim, but this that I'm doing is because of Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. There's no question in my mind that's the easiest pshat.
Commemoration.
Right, right. And that's also that's the easiest pshat in the pasuk.
And that's how most people darshan it.
That's how most people read it without darshaning. That's how most people just read it. I bet that every English translation says that, except for if it's really frum.
Because
that's pshat.
Yeah. Why would the pasuk have said that originally?
Oh! There's an intelligent young man.
Why wouldn't the pasuk?
If you ever need to get into some like really hard, no, just say somebody once said you're an intelligent young man, and shit, and nobody got. That's exactly where we want to go. Okay, wait. Don't tell everybody the secret. Okay, wait. Got to keep it away. It's about 9:30 in the evening, and when somebody says something intelligent, you tell them it was intelligent, and everybody else wants to try and guess it. Okay. This is because of this. There's two opposites. Either the future is because of the past because of the future. Difference in commemoration and celebration, if you want to play on the English words and write a poem or get the title in the newspaper. Okay? Okay, but that was a good point. We're going to get to you. Don't worry. You're just in the right place. Okay, so the Rasag does pshat. Rashi here doesn't do what people nowadays call pshat, right? Although you'll see in a second that there's a depth in what Rashi's saying, which is very convincing. You'll see in a second when we get to the intelligent remark that was just said, but we'll get to it with time. Rasag says Zebavu Mashasa Shemli. Now you solve two things by saying that, by changing the order of the word Zeh with the word Ba'avur and playing a bit in the punctuation and the grammar, you solve two problems. One problem is it makes more sense to say to the kid what I'm doing is because of what happened than to say what happens because of what I'm doing, because that just sounds like kind of like you need a bit more explanation and you expect it to come and it doesn't, right? And the other thing is you don't need to fill in the blank after the word li, because if you read Bavol Zeh, because of this God did to me what? So you have to say God did to me great things, so you have to fill in the blank. So it's not really, you don't really solve so much the other way either. So but the way of the Medrash and Rashi has two problems. One is, it's saying a deep theological idea that's great, but like it doesn't seem to have any follow-up and any context. And B is, you have to need to fill in the blank after the word li. The problem with the Rav Sadia Gaon is, although the pasuk reads very nicely, the words are in the wrong order. Right? Okay, so you say, okay, you know, sometimes it's like this. Sometimes you have to just read it. You know, it's a figurative way of speaking all that. But it's a problem. Okay, but there's no question that if you're looking for an easy pshat, like that will be the one to go for, because it involves minimal movement and less theological, you know, less, you know, partial jumps. Okay, yeah. Somebody want to say something?
The Zeh.
Pardon?
The Zeh, like the... is it only possible that the Zeh would be referring to the practice of having the Seder and all that?
No. If you read it like Rav Sadia Gaon, it means...
No, it's like if you read it as Bavur Zeh, I mean, not commemoration, but Bavur Zeh, this, that the Nesim were done, my doing this now, does it have to be that the Zeh is referring to doing this now, or could it be Bavur Zeh, I mean, we put it in, it's in Tefillin. Could be Bavur Zeh, I mean, Bavur all of my practice or the specific practice.
Oh, very good. Just wait one second. Very good. You're already on the Ibn Ezra. Very good. But that's not going to be for the Rav Sadia Gaon. That will go better on the other one. Right? Because in Rav Sadia Gaon, trying to get a simple pshat, you're on that night, the night of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and you're eating matzah, as it says in the previous pasuk, and you're doing the things we know you do. And then you say, because I'm doing this, because Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim, is the direct explanation. And the list goes on what you're doing just then, right? Okay. Rashbam, Babul Zeh, Shem, Nisim, Lido, Nisim, Ani Obed, Avodah Hazot. Right? That's basically the same thing. He plays around with it slightly differently, but he comes to the same approach, basically. Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rashbam are playing here direct shad. And you expect Ibn Ezra to do the same thing, but he surprises you, and he goes with Rashi. And it'd be very interesting how he does. And he develops the whole idea. Okay, a bit further that is. Okay, so just be clear, Rashi goes with the Medrash, and Rav Sadia and the Rashi don't go in that direction. Now let's get to the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra brings one of the people he likes arguing with, Rabbi Brings, okay, who says, like Rav Sadia and the Rashi, and he attacks him without any mercy. Amar Rabbi Marinus.
Who's Rabbi Marinus?
Is that one of the Parshanim of the medieval period? He likes arguing with him. Perushta holds that Hayada Ui Liyot Afuch, it should be the other way around, like Rav Sadia Gaon says. Zebabosh Asa Hashem Di. Vevira Bim Kamau Ledato. And he put a lot of other examples in his opinion, in places in Tanakh where the words are switched around. You just have to change around the words and everything will be fine. But if he, and there's nothing wrong with saying this, and you can be a very religious Jew saying this, because Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rashbam both read it that way. However, look what the Ibn Ezra thinks about that. Well, if he, that he, in it, chad me'el nachon, all his examples are wrong. Now this is really a bit of a radical statement, because that's, he's quoting this phrase, how can we turn over the words of God? I mean, they don't mean to turn over the words of God, they just change the order of the words in order to get pshat. But he's saying, like, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu write in this order, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu write in the other order? If you meant to say it like this, you meant to say it like this. Nefri says, but actually, the pshat is the opposite of what he thought. The opposite of Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rashbam.
Well, he changed the pasuk. Obviously, it's going to change that.
Right. He ain anu ochlim. Okay, we follow this. This is Yotva Torah. For let us say it. He ain anu ochlim matzot ba'avolzeh. We don't eat matzahs because Hashem took us out. But perush ba'avolzeh ba'avolzot avoda. But because of this action, shehu achilat hamatzah v'lochol chametz, which is eating a matzah, not eating chametz. Notice this is so far just like Rashi, but here's going to be the addition. Shehu atchalat hamitzvot shetzivah lanu Hashem. That's what your idea. It means matzah in the sense of the first of the mitzvot. In other words, because of the mitzvot, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. You want to know why I'm keeping mitzvahs, kid? I'm not keeping the mitzvahs because, you know, I'm some kind of cultural Jew. I'm keeping the mitzvahs because, you know why Hashem built a relationship with us for the last 3,000 years? Because I'm keeping the mitzvahs, right? The example being, okay, the first mitzvah, okay, that's matzah, like that's kind of the starting point, and that's kind of what we're doing tonight, because this is like the first night. But the idea is, this is why Hashem did everything for me, because of what we're doing. She's going, Hashem, asalanu Hashem, but not after 7 minutes.
But that's why the first pasuk you read before was chametz matzah.
Well, but by both explanations, it's going to be connected to what's beyond that. Vatam, and the meaning of this is lo tzi'anu mitzrayim rat lada. This is an idea that the Ibn Ezra says several places in his perush. One of them, I think, at the end of the third part of Kriyat Shema. Right? Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and also in the burning bush already he mentions this on the pasuk, on the pasukim there. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in order for us to serve him. Hashem didn't, notice, it doesn't ever say, let my people go. Let my people go comes from the 1860s. Let my people go. The original was let my people go and serve him. Right? It was later used again in the fight against Russia, because, you know, to let the Jews out of Russia. But they also left it. No, that's true. They took it from the 1860s. That was when I was a kid. I'm not that old. They took it from the 1860s. In the 1860s, let my people go. It's actually, you know, you can Wikipedia. You can see the song.
They also used it in Veggie Tales.
What?
It was big in Veggie Tales. Veggie Tales, the vegetables that told Bible stories.
Tangents are fine, but not tangents of tangents. I want to point out that tangent to the tangent, if the tangent is sufficient in both cases, say right angle, should bring you back to where you started. At least to bring you, actually, tangent could bring you to the wrong way you were going the opposite direction. Ooh. But if it's enough tangents, it should hopefully bring you exactly where you start. I think we've gotten to that point by now. That's what it says, already in the burning bush. When you go out of Mitzrayim, you'll serve God on this mountain. Right? We say this in in Parashat Sittes, every day, in morning and evening. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to be to us a God. That's saying the reason Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim was to be our God, in order for the relationship to be. And therefore, Ba'avul Zeh is most literal. Because of what I'm doing now, being the beginning of all the mitzvot, because of the mitzvot, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Hashem didn't, I'm not keeping the mitzvot because Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim because I'm keeping the mitzvot, in some kind of deeper sense.
We ran yesterday with Rafael.
You mean he gave this share before, and nobody told me anything from that?
Almost word for word.
He said that in Egypt we were disgraced.
You're not allowed to interrupt each other. Only me.
Yeah. He said in Egypt we were disgraced because we were idol worshippers.
And then you say that the point of coming out of his sign was in order to create a relationship.
But then you said just before that we kept
mitzvot. I didn't say that. We keep mitzvot now, being the reason Hashem took us on the sign then.
So he said it's from the Seder's order, is from bad times to good times.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, we started in Avodah Zarah. He wasn't saying that we were taken out because...
No, but I don't know. That's exactly the thing. That's exactly, by the way, the Machlokes that Rav Shmuel... Rabbi Berman must have been speaking yesterday about the Machlokes Rav Shmuel, which is how the Akkos go, right? And then you say, Ayin Matchil B'Nuch Nesayim B'Shvach is going from physical doing bad to good, to doing good physically. In which case, the story is about slavery and then freedom on the physical. Or it's a spiritual one, right? The Ibn Ezra is going by the position that it's more spiritual, that it starts early and finishes later, right? That it's going from Avodah Zarah to close the Stakulish Boch. And Ibn Ezra's, not that he could only side with that position, but his way of looking at it fits that very much. By the way, the Rashbam is also fits the approach, because the Rashbam also, in explaining those psukim at the burning bush, says that to serve me on this mountain was simply an alibi to let them be able to get out, but really the point of it was to be saved from slavery, whereas the Ibn Ezra really thinks that wasn't an alibi, that actually was the reason they were letting out in order to serve God. Go and take a look in the psukim on the burning bush, Gimel Yudbet Kinshman. Okay, but exactly what you're saying, that's just honor. Okay, so look, at this point we have to ask the big question, which was the intelligence mentioned earlier. The big question is, look, when you got poetry, so like once when I was studying poetry, so Professor Shira Bilosky said this point, and she was right, so I like to quote her. She says, look, you know, I don't remember exactly how she put it, but something like, she's a professor of English literature. When something's not clear in poetry, then you're not supposed to like choose between the positions. It's not clear in order to have both meanings that seem to come to mind. If I can elaborate on that, because I think a lot should be elaborated on that. It's like the difference in good writing and bad writing. When you read something, it's not clear to you what the person wrote. There are two options. One is the person doesn't have to write. The other one is the person meant more than one thing. If a person meant to be clear and it wasn't clear, he doesn't have to write. Right? If a person was not clear and knows how to write, it's because they mean something deeper than the simple meaning, and there was no better way to express that in any clearer language. Okay? And that's why poetry can't be translated into prose. And when you have psukim in the Torah, which kind of open themselves for darshanot, which of course is all the psukim, right, then you've got to see it that way. That is, it's not like pshat is right and drash is wrong or vice versa. It's really, there's something going on here, right? And it's being presented by, you know, multiple readings. Here you have a pasuk, however you present it, the fact of the case is there is no way to read this that actually flows good. If there was a way to read that actually flows good, there would only be one commentary, and it would be the one, which would be obvious, and it wouldn't even be a commentary, because you wouldn't need it. Okay? So you've got a pasuk here that you can read it like Rashi in the Medrash and the Ibn Ezra, or you can read it like Rasag in the Rashbam, but you have to admit that whichever way, the question is, why wasn't it written clearer, correct? There's a problem in the grammar both ways. There is no better way to read. So the alternative I'd like to suggest is, the reason why the Pasuk was written this way is in order to hold simultaneously both meanings. Now, there's two options. One's the simple reading, and one's the not simple reading, correct? That's the simple way. In other words, you can get to the point we just said and then say something simple or something slightly more complex. So, of course, I'm going to go to the complex way. So, let's in the meantime get the simple one right. Right? The simple way to read it is, a pasuk has two meanings. It doesn't have a clear meaning. It means, well, I want to tell you, say, pshat, like Rav Sadia God and the Rashbam, which is, what I'm doing is because we came out of Mitzrayim. But you know what? There's a really beautiful theological idea, so I'm going to hide it in the pasuk. That's kind of a drush. Okay? The drush was kind of hidden in. That's one reading. Okay, so then the pshat, the translation should be, what I'm doing is because Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. But actually, for those who know how to read Hebrew, it's much more complex and it's really interesting. There is an alternative, which is to say that there is no simple pshat, and therefore there is no way to translate this pasuk. And the pasuk is supposed to be read in two opposite directions, because it's talking about the whole problematic nature of the relationship between the past and the future in commemoration and development of a relationship. And at this point, I'm going to say something which might sound weird, but I really mean it. Let's say you get married. Right, Bezrat Hashem, everybody in their own time, right time, all that. Okay, right person, Bezrat Hashem. Person gets married. Was the marriage for the future, or was the future for the marriage? And you don't have to just talk about the moment of the marriage, but the whole first thing. Now, you can argue both ways. But the point is, when you ask, I'll try to explain myself in this question, but in a second. But my point is that when you ask the question about like which one's for which nobody asked Mr. Ramon, only me, right? That means that you know you're saying something. It might show a lack of understanding what you're talking about.
Can you explain the question?
I'll get to say, but my point is that the question's wrong, right? Okay, just so you understand. But is the reason you got married in order to later, you know, have a house and kids and thing, or are you later kind of taking care of the family because you know what you got married? Now, in a sense, they're both true. But when you look at it only one direction, it doesn't really make sense. Because I can't imagine anybody, or very few people, would be able to continue to be married for decades and decades and build a relationship, take care of their kids, and they're doing it just because, you know what, one day they went and got married, so you know they fell into this, they were stuck. And nobody functions that way. And if they do, they'll be a very sad person. Right? Right? But rather, the reason they got married was... But there is also a sense of you're keeping a certain obligation which is connected to the past, and the past is also connected in some sense. The whole point of the past was for the future. There is a vector going in opposite directions. There's a two-way relationship always between the past and the future, and you're dealing, I'd like to argue, you're dealing with a relationship, as opposed to a loan. You pay up a mortgage, it's only because you took out the mortgage. You didn't take out the mortgage in order to be able to pay it up.
Okay.
Right, that's true. In other words, once you look at it in a sense of life and the reasons you were doing it, you understand that what really went on here was a two-way relationship because it became part of your life. When you take a look at it as far as money is concerned, you'll be very happy if the bank decided to, you know, ring up one day and say, it's because it's your birthday, we threw out the mortgage. Right, you know it's yours, right now, right? But it doesn't work that way. So my point is, relationships work in two opposite directions. The reason you open a relationship is in order for the future to come about. And the reason you continue that relationship is because of the meaning of the past, which is part of what gives the future its meaning. There's a two-way relationship, as far as time is concerned, in a relationship which is real in someone's life. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, except we did not, like, no one thought that we were leaving Egypt. Like, we're going to leave Egypt to do Seder next year.
Do you know that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to the burning bush, Hashem said, go and tell them, you know, and go and tell Paro, let my people free and they can come and serve me on this mountain. And when Moshe Rabbeinu went and spoke to the people, he said, you know what, we're getting out of slavery to serve God. And that's what they said throughout the story. And Ibn Ezra takes that most literally. In other words, it's true that we might have been very happy to come out just in order to get the bonds off us. But we were coming out on the understanding we're going to build a relationship with God. Right? To develop one slavery into a slavery of meaning. It's not slavery, it's service of meaning. Right? Now you can say on the individual level, but when you look on a people level, or if you look at the people as an individual, you know, the individual people, look at the whole span of Jewish history, you can talk in terms of there was a relationship developing between human beings, a certain group of human beings, or even in a sense all of humanity as far as what it would mean for others, and God. And that is a relationship where God does something for us, not just on the basis of his own kindness, but also on the basis of what it will then mean to us, and the relationship will be built up. I'll give you an example. When you see, if you see a kid drowning in a swimming pool, God forbid, and you save their life, now you are doing it only for the moment, right? Right? But you can imagine that kid might not forget your name. Okay? So in a deeper sense, although that hopefully was not your aim at the time, in a deeper sense you were saving that kid's life for the relationship that kid will then have with you. Now it's true, I hope you're a moral enough person to jump in even if he won't remember your name. Right? But the point is, actions which move in both directions, which are reciprocal, which are based on a relationship, have two-way movements in time. So you say, what is Leila Seder? It's coming to talk about this whole problematic nature of the story and history, the original moment and what come out of it. And therefore, I'm doing all these actions as a commemoration, but then the thing happened in a degree because of what I'm doing. You know something interesting? Why is it that... here's another example of the exact same thing. Why do we eat matzah?
Because it's yummy.
That's it. Now, the other reason is... we eat matzah because... It says, because the bread didn't... We came out so fast, the bread didn't have time to rise. That's the reason we eat matzah. That's what it says. Right? But you know where the command to eat matzah appears?
Before that!
It appears before that. And yet it says that's the reason we do it. Why is that not a problem? That's great. Hashem says, eat matzah. You can always eat matzah. Now get out. Oh, actually, you're right. They didn't get a chance to lie. So, we got the mitzvah before the reason for the mitzvah happened. That's exactly what we're talking about, this mix between future and past. Okay, now guys, we've got very little time, and I think people are starting to get... We've only got about 8 minutes, because I think my watch is a minute slow. Right, you've got about 8 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got to get to the poem, but I also want to get to the medrash. Let's read the poem, okay? I like David Thomas a lot, and I haven't been teaching him in this institution this year. But this is only a little part out of the poem in October, and if you like this, why you should read the rest. Okay, he's going and looking back at his own life and remembering things. He died in his 30s, but he did an awful lot of thinking before then. And I saw in the turning so clearly a child's forgotten mornings when he walked with his mother through the parables of sunlight. If you're not used to reading Dylan Thomas, you've got to get used to him. It takes 2 months. Through the parables of sunlight and the legends of green chapels. You can't talk in the middle of reading Dylan Thomas. Let's start again, nobody interrupt. And I saw in the turning, he's talking about himself, so clearly a child's forgotten mornings when he walked with his mother through the parables of sunlight and the legends of the green chapels and the twice-told fields of infancy, that his tears burned my cheeks and his heart moved in mine. Okay, he's talking about himself. And he's talking about going back to places where he remembers himself as a child, and he's reliving the emotions he had with his mother as a child, and his tears burned my cheeks. Whose tears?
His
own tears that he was reliving, and his heart moved in mine. Okay, the parables of sunlight. He's going through these images, remembering associatively his previous experiences, right? And the idea is, you know, so what's more real? The moment now that he's reliving his previous moments of existence, or the original time he lived it? So in both sense, in a certain sense, they're both real. But they're real in a different way. What he's now reliving has an incredible meaning. He's looking back in a very mature way over an experience that he probably was hardly aware of at the time, right? And he's developing it. And now if you think about what it means to write a poem, then bichlal, not just write a poem, also to write Torah. What does it mean when it becomes a mitzvah, right? Then he got, you know, when he wrote this poem, so like we're reliving his living, right? And this, and it's much more feeling has been felt probably by people reading this poem than this poor little kid that he originally was could have had possibly holding his mother's hand, crying when he was walking around the field, right? You know how many people have thought and you know, felt, you know how many times I've read this poem? Right, and think how many people there are like me who've read this poem. So you start thinking, you know, what is the more meaningful, and what's the, and the same thing? When Hashem gives us a mitzvah because of coming out of Mitzrayim, he's developing more sometimes in the mitzvah than the original experience, he's developing something. Yes, Rabbi?
Is it obvious what event this is taking place in the green chapels?
Oh, you've got to read the whole poem, spend a lot of time on this. Dylan Thomas is great. The twice told fields of infancy. Okay, what is twice told? He's going through it again.
Okay? When you remember your childhood, you're going through it again, but you're looking as an adult at your childhood, and you're giving it meaning, you're developing a sense of personality on the basis of some kind of memory that you choose to develop. Right? And that's part of what makes the person that you will then choose to be in the future on the basis of what you choose to choose from your past. You choose to choose. Right? Choosing, the two meanings of the word choosing. Okay, now I'd like to widen this in the last 5 minutes. I hope you understand how this connects to the sage in a variety of ways. Right, so you've got Advaita. Okay, so now let's widen this. There's a Medrash by Ikarava. Ikarava is an early Medrash, so I want to show you this. This is very interesting. This is actually kind of pity to do in 5 minutes, but it's quite phenomenal, and you can develop in a lot of directions. You can argue about the actual cases brought, although they're very convincing in their own way. But the idea that it's trying to say is a phenomenal way of looking at Torah and looking at your life. If you want to look at it as a Musa type way, it's very strong. If you want to look at it in some kind of philosophical way, it's also very strong. Not that there's any difference in the two. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Limdatcha Torah derech eretz. Torah is teaching you how to live. Shekshe'e adam osem mitzvah yeosel tabelev sameh. Maybe it meant lev shalem, I don't know, but lev sameh. When you do something, you should be really in it. Why? If you're really in things, you do it differently. Even if you do the action both ways, you do it differently. She'ilu haya Ruvein. Now, this is going to talk about Ruvein. Now, just to remind you all, Ruvein was the person who tried to save Yosef's life. The way we know that he tried to save Yosef's life is because it's actually one of the few times in the whole of Chumash that the Torah actually tells us what a person's intention was, because it wasn't clear. Because he was not successful. You might have not understood. It says, Leman hatzilotom yadam lashiko alav. The reason why Reuven said,
throw him in the pit.
He said, throw him in the pit. It was because he thought he'd be able to bring it back on to save him. And it says so in the Pasuk. That's pretty good to say that about you in the Pasuk. That's really beautiful. Right? To actually say, he had good intentions. It's also very sad, because if it has to be said, that means something went wrong. Right? And then what went wrong is that he wasn't so open about it for whatever reason, and Yehuda also tried to save it, but not exactly working in teamwork with the Reuven, and that's how Yosef got sold, because Yehuda takes him out and sells him, so it kind of comes out of a mess. She'ilu haya Reuven yode. Now this is very, very, very critical, and people might not like this mention in that sense, as far as the Pshat is concerned, but I think it's very powerful, and it's actually saying something very wide, something you need to think about. She'ilu haya Reuven yode. Where was Reuven to know? The Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to write about him in the Torah.
What's that
pasuk?
Where is
that? That's the pasuk just before. He says, wait, and Reuven heard, and he saved them from his hands. But it's a very powerful word, pasuk to say. Reuven heard, and he saved them. It's like, you know, you can see the guy flying into the television camera with his cape, you know, bellowing in the wind, you know. Vayishmar Reuven ve'yatzleu miyadam. Lo nakenu nafesh. Right? He would have put him on his shoulder, like to raise something heavy, and take him home to his father. In other words, Reuven had good intentions, but maybe he didn't have the guts. He would have been able to do it. He was frightened of his younger brothers, but why? If he would have had the awareness of what was going to happen, which was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to write in the Torah, this man had the best intentions, would try to save Yosef's life. He would have been so excited about what they were going to say about him. If he were able to look at himself in the third person, in a sense, he would be able to see himself as the future will then tell the history. He would have acted differently in the past. He would have shoved him on his shoulders and just take him home.
Yeah, wouldn't anyone do, like, if I... No, if,
that's exactly
if
the...
I
next...
said someone was going to write a biography of me right now, like, about what I'm doing in this class.
100%! That's exactly the point of the Medrash. That's exactly where it's going. You got it 100%. That's exactly the Medrash. Carry on. Right? Well, that's exactly where the Medrash is trying to bring you. He's trying to tell you something about your life. Rabbi Kohen, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Simon, B'Shem Rabbi Levi, Amru, L'Sha'avar Ya'adam Oseh Mitzvah V'Navi Kotva. In the past, the person did a mitzvah and the Navi wrote it in the Tanakh. In other words, there were times in history when Tanakh was being written. It wasn't being written at that time. It just would be written later on. V'achshav, nowadays, like, who writes the Tanakh? Well, nobody's written the Tanakh for some time now. I mean, except the Christians. That's a different kind of Tanakh. V'achshav, Adam oseh mitzvah mi kotva. Right? And now when you do a mitzvah, like, you know, who writes it? Now, look at this. The ones who are going to write it are the future generations. Eliyahu u'melech ha-mashiach v'akadosh baruch hu chotem al yedeh. In other words, the future When the Gula comes, the past will be written up. That's how you should look at your life. It should be Vayishma. I wrote it the wrong way. Change that word. It's Vayishma, not Vashima. Vayishma. Vayikatev v'gon. Right? There's people will be talking to each other, and it will be written down. In other words, and Hashem's listening. In other words, the future generations will be writing up your present life, and Hashem will be listening and signing on. Now, what this major is trying to suggest is that you also look at your life as a preparation for the future. Now, notice this is in Western cultures, this is a very accepted way of doing things. You know, and sometimes it's not so moral, and that's why it's a big problem in this major. To live your life because of what posterity will say about you is sometimes highly problematic. However, what this medrash is pointing out is that the awareness that the past is creating a future awareness about the past is a way of making the past more meaningful. Right? Well, you want to make your life meaningful. Now, sometimes you can say from a moral point of view, it's less lishma, it's less for pure reasons.
Well, you can say that you don't have to say it's a book that everybody else is reading just because that includes that introduces the concept of social pressure into your actions. You could argue that maybe you could live your life as a book that you're reading later. You know?
Very nice. So, who is Melech HaMashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi? Right? Does I don't know what the Medrash means. Does that mean that the whole world will be reading you? Or does that mean, you know? But you should see yourself as HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking at you in the future. The creation of the third person looking at yourself. To be able to look at yourself from the outside, perhaps, to a degree. But the idea of the future looking at the past, and the past being something that develops the future awareness about the past, sometimes more important, right? Which is a highly problematic idea in some senses from a moral point of view. Then in other senses, a very deep way of looking at the change of time. Whereas what is the simplistic way of looking at time is something happened and you remember it. And then it's like meaningless, like, you know, your birthday, like, you know, does it really matter, you know, if it's your birthday or not? Right? You know, so like, if your birthday, is it your birthday today?
Mazel Tov.
So tonight,
today.
Hebrew or English?
Monday.
It's the same
anyway. But it's Hebrew.
I was born whatever.
So don't worry about it.
Friday is my Hebrew birthday.
Mazel Tov. So, does it really matter? So it matters if it matters to you. Right? But in a certain sense. It matters if it matters to you, and you give meaning. But it actually, you know, if you're always told, you know, if your birthday's on Tisha B'Av, then, you know, unless you're Mashiach, then it might just be a bad time to celebrate. So you know you can move it if you like, just don't tell anyone. Right? Nobody will really know. It won't really matter. The future is what gives meaning to that day in a certain sense. But there are certain things which are called relationships. And relationships is different, right? A relationship, it has to be real. You can't fake a relationship based on an imaginary early moment. That's not real relationship. And therefore, an honest relationship has to have a real past that you're continuing. But you're not just commemorating because then there's no relationship at all. You need honesty and you need the future. And that's exactly what you have in this whole conception of history. That you have something that really happened. You really believe in Yetziat Mitzrayim, and Yetziat Mitzrayim really happened. And if it didn't happen, then it's not meaningful to commemorate it. Right? You might develop a relationship on a myth, but it's not a real relationship, it's a trick. If you're not really married to the person, then you're not married to the person. You can't build a real relationship. That's a forgery. That's not real. But it's not enough to be married to the person. The marriage was really about what you're going to do later. It's a two-way process. Yes, you want to say something?
Well, you could say that if God wanted us to be living, or we were intended to be living in this third person sort of long-term objective reality, then why would we have emotions and the things that cause us to not be living in that sort of long? I mean, if we were supposed to be making the most educated decision that every moment independent of emotion and relationship, then why wouldn't we be made like
we
that?
We don't want it to be too easy.
Exactly.
We want to learn to develop ourselves, that you should be able to enrich your life by being more reflective.
You could argue that as we mature and we tend towards old age, the difference between a 5-year-old and an old person, it could be argued, is that the old person knows what they need to do and knows and has a sort of third person objective reality, and the 4-year-old doesn't. And you could argue that because we tend to that, it shouldn't be argued that it's unnatural, but it's something that we should strive for.
Yeah, and also you strive for it in a certain way. People also choose what memories to develop in their own life. No, you don't have to develop every memory. No, idiots develop every memory they feel. Because they've had a bad experience, they have to always commemorate it and develop it as part of their personality. Now, so it's sometimes true that psychologically, if you push things out, then they come jumping back. But that means that you have to deal with it, maybe, maybe, not always. It certainly doesn't mean that you have to develop it, right? And, you know, so part of being clever is to choose what memories to develop and what relationships to develop, right, in your own life. You know, your people will go through life and you pick up a lot of relationships with people, with places, with ideas, right? And you choose what things to make more out of. Then that's part of, you know, we have to be a filter to a degree. So but you shook up. That's a good point, you know, the whole idea of growing up. So what we need to say is, this is talking about the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, the whole idea of how to tell a story, right? You know, Leil HaSeder is about telling a story, and the whole meaning of what it means to tell a story, and whether the story is about what happened, or what happened was really about the story, the development of the story. And that brings us to the last makar, which is the Mishnah, third to last makar, but the other one's ready. B'chol b'ladochei al-adam b'yavotet atzmo p'ilu hu yatsam b'mitzrayim, which is the idea that Adam was bringing before, right? You have to always see, as if you came out of Mitzrayim. The Rambam's Gersa, I put in with a star, but if you look in the Mishnah Torah, you'll see the Rambam's Gersa is l'harot et atzmo, not l'harot et atzmo, but l'harot et atzmo, which is exactly the kind of decision. Is it every generation you have to see it, see as if you came out of Mitzrayim, or you have to play the game on yourself? You have to show yourself. You have to relive the experience as if you were the one who came out of Mitzrayim. Right? In other words, is it a role play development of the past? Because that's kind of what we do on Leil HaSeder. We relive it, right? Or is it that we see ourselves, right? Is it passive? Is it active? Is it something that you're supposed to imagine is actually happening, or something that you're supposed to create in the future, a past which is meaningful for the future? You want to say something? They say, oh, yeah, really? And that's in the Rambam. So Yishakar. So that's exactly.
They act out, sorry.
Okay, guys. Shout out to everyone.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.